This is Stephen Adams.
And this is Kevin Durant. Oh, sorry.
Kevin Durant. You're Kevin Durant, mate. Good to see you, mate. Different complexion.
Okay, let's go again.
So, this is Stephen Adams.
And this is Enes Kanter.
You're listening to the Down to Earth.
Down to Dunk podcast.
What? Down to Dunk.
Down to Dunk.
I'll
down
say
to
that.
Dunk. Introduce yourself, mate.
Here's Stephen Adams, and I'm Enes Kanter.
And you're listening to Down to Dunk podcast.
Stay tuned.
Welcome to Down to Dunk. This is your host, Andrew Schlecht. We are part of DailyThunder.com, also Almighty Baller Radio. Check us out on Dash Radio Saturday afternoons. It's Tuesday night, but this is a Hot Ham Wednesday pod, and that means that we have the man, the Hot Ham man, John Ham, on the line. John, what's up?
Oh, you know, just sort of relaxing after a hard night of volleyball. So,
Ham, how was it?
Yeah. You know what? It is fun. It is a lot of fun. It is. So it's my wife. She's in because she works for the state. It's part of like a state, the Oklahoma Sports and Social Organization or whatever. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah. So we have she has a volleyball team that spouse is going to be part of. So,
yes,
I've gotten involved in that. And we started out really bad, really, really bad. Like Charlotte Bobcats of a few years ago, really bad. And we have progressed to, I don't know, something below adequate. So
it's a good place to progress to.
Yeah, yeah. We're not as terrible as we used to be, so that's a good thing.
Speaking of inadequacy, Carmelo Anthony is in the news for the Thunder.
He sure is. How weird is that, huh?
I mean, what were your thoughts when you first heard? Well, I guess you texted me. What were your thoughts when you saw that tweet from Bill Simmons?
Yeah, I think the first thing I texted you is, Bill is hearing stuff or something like that. You know,
Bill's got a scoop, or I think that's what you said.
Yeah. Oh, Bill has a scoop, huh? Yeah, and you know, some of this goes back to there was a report like late January that the Thunder were, you know, interested in Carmelo Anthony, but it was from a questionable source, and it might have come up somewhere else later. But no, I have been told that the Thunder did check into that, and I'm not surprised they would do that. I think they were checking into everything. And you know, I'm sure that's one name that came up along the way, and at least back in February, you know, it went nowhere because Carmelo wasn't willing to waive his no trade clause. But you know, the situation has deteriorated since then.
And the still, Thunder, you know, are a lot better.
The Thunder are a lot better. Unfortunately, they're still in Oklahoma City. So
that's a thing. That's certainly a thing.
It seems like he's more interested in Houston. Yep. A lot more interested.
Which most NBA players are. Like, a lot of NBA players like Houston. Some even have, like, off-season homes in Houston. I remember, like, Rashard Lewis, who never played for Houston, lived in Houston in the off-season. It's a big time city, and it's massive, and it does have a lot more to offer than OKC does. And you know, as people that live in Oklahoma City, we have a massive chip on our shoulder about our state and about our city. And I think that showed a lot on Twitter over the past few days, because anytime you talk about Melo to OKC, and it's all because of the no trade clause, and like that's right. And like some people are like, well, maybe this will position the Rockets to give more up than they would have to. Actually, unless he decides that he's going to waive his no trade for both teams, it really doesn't, because there's no there's no bidding war at all unless he's willing to waive his no trade for OKC. And the only thoughts, I mean, I don't know if you saw, there was a tweet from a New York reporter, and people were asking people in Melo's group, you know, would he waive his no trade for OKC? And their answer was Houston.
Right. Yeah.
So
I mean, that seems to be where he's driving things.
And that's the whole thing. I mean, people are asking, like, is this a valid scoop? Like, I'm sure it is. I mean, the Thunder, if they can upgrade, because the trade would be, and correct me if I'm wrong, like, the trade would start with Kaner. You've got a match salary, and the Thunder really don't have a lot of, like, these mid-tier salary guys. And, like, it would be Singler, and it would be McBuckets. And then you throw in an asset like the Bulls second rounder, or you throw in Terrence Ferguson. Maybe.
Maybe.
If there became a bidding war.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Oklahoma City, you know, does have those draft picks they could offer. But yeah, I mean, New York is not negotiating from a position of strength here.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly right. I mean, they've waited so long that Melo's value really isn't that high. Like, Carmelo Anthony, everyone's like, well, this is going to be Olympic Melo. Like, Olympic Melo hasn't been Olympic Melo in, like, 5 years. Like, yeah, I think that if he did buy in, I think he could be really good. And obviously, he's an upgrade over the guys that I said earlier, so you'd have to do that. But no one's giving anything up. Like, look around. Like, Ryan Anderson is the deal that the Rockets are trying to do. Like, no one's giving anybody up that's any good to get him.
Right.
And there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
And it's because, one, they know that, like you said, they're operating from a position where they have no power at all. And two, Melo's just not a great player anymore.
Right. Yeah. Now, I mean, I have talked myself into the idea of him in Oklahoma City. I think a front line, you know, could work. And look, whether he goes to Houston or Oklahoma City, he's going to have to play the four spot. I mean, that's just all there is to it. So, they can disguise it up however they want to, you know, no matter what team he lands on. But that's essentially the spot he's going to have to wind up playing. I think having another proven scorer, you know, we saw last season, that's kind of nice to have. It's kind of nice to have a guy like that. Mm-hmm. I think Carmelo would fit in. You know, I think he'd fit in, obviously, in Oklahoma City or Houston, either one. And it's just all the avenues in Houston, I think, would have to dry up. Now, I mean, apparently New York doesn't want anything to do with the remaining 3 years and $60 million on Ryan Anderson's deal.
Yeah.
They've got a bad 2017 contract now and Tim Hardaway. They don't need to add a bad 2016 contract on top of all the other ones they've got.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I could understand. It could be a matter of who's going to blink first. You know, is New York going to relent on something? Is, you know, there's a lot of chatter of Portland being involved in a three-way deal to help facilitate all that. Are the Rockets going to relent and give up Eric Gordon and ship him to Portland now that they have an opening? And Portland could offload somebody. So, you know, I still think there's plenty of time for this to unfold, and, you know, there's plenty of time for Houston to pull something together.
Yeah. I'd like to thank Anchor Down for sponsoring today's podcast. You can follow Anchor Down on Twitter, Facebook, or on Instagram. Just search Anchor Down OKC. It's a great follow. Go click the follow button on Twitter, because you're on Twitter probably right now after listening to our podcast. So go follow them on social media. Also, go check out Anchor Down. They're in Deep Deuce in downtown OKC. They're in the big red shipping containers called the OKC. It's a really cool area, a really cool building. They have a great bar. They have a great beer selection. They have great corn dogs. As I said before, if you haven't done this where you substitute the chips, not that the chips are bad, the chips are good. If you're in the mood for chips, get the chips. But if you can, substitute those chips for pizza tots, and it's just pure heaven. That's what you should do at Anchor Down. Go check it out. Always check out their Cobb salad. Incredibly fresh salad. I've never been disappointed by it, and I've had it a ton of times. Go check out Anchor Down today. Yeah, I would still anticipate Houston being the team that he goes to. And it's just funny. I tweeted this earlier, that this just... Anytime you hear like a direct report of what the Thunder are thinking or what the Thunder are wanting to do, it's almost never what they end up doing. Like, you look at Brook Lopez, you look at Rudy Gay, you look at all these other things that, and not to say that the Thunder aren't in talks with these things, But they're also sometimes, I don't know if they're using these moments for leverage. I think they do that at times. But they're also having probably hundreds of other conversations about hundreds of other players. Maybe not hundreds, tens of players. But they're having a lot of conversations. And just because you hear Melo doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. But it's, to me, it just seems more likely that something else will happen, just because like that's the track record of Sam Presti. When something leaks out, maybe it's a past conversation, maybe it's something that they've actually moved past, or it's something that they're trying to gain leverage. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so I was asked this morning about that. Like, you know, how can we believe any of this, because nothing gets out of the Thunder organization? And I said, well, understand, Carmelo Anthony's a part of this discussion. And so if Carmelo's talking to some of his people, and then some of his people go out and talk to people, well, there's your link. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be from Oklahoma City or New York. They could have their traps shut. But someone from, you know, Carmelo Anthony's group, you know, said something that, you know, led to this getting out. So, and I do believe the Thunder want to make another impact move. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, tell people to hold your seats. It's going to happen any minute now. It could not happen. But, you know, you look around it and all the instability, there's still some places that aren't settled yet across the league. And especially you look at Cleveland. Right. You know, if Cleveland's going to shake things up with Kyrie, maybe they shake things up with Kevin Love. Mm-hmm. Maybe Oklahoma City gets involved there. You know, San Antonio, LaMarcus Aldridge hasn't been, you know, the greatest fit there, and is reportedly not happy. The Spurs still need to make some moves. You know, maybe they could get involved there. You know, there's, who knows what's going on in Phoenix. Maybe they get involved in the Kyrie Irving talks, and that frees up something that Oklahoma City could use. So I think they still want to make another significant addition. I do believe that.
Yeah. And I think the Thunder found themselves in an NBA where there's not a ton of teams that are looking or can compete right now. You have the instability of the Cavs, like you talked about. You've got San Antonio. You've got Houston. And then it's Boston is another team. And then you have, and Boston's still playing like this half in, half out game. And then you have the Warriors. And like, really, that's it. And there's a lot of good players still in the NBA. And most of them won't move. But I think that Daryl Morey and Sam Presti looked at the league and thought, hey, like, let's make a run. And if it is only a one-year run, so be it. And if not, then we'll have a really great team going forward. And I think that, like, Melo, you know, as I think Melo's a little polarizing at this point. But if you can flip Kanter and small pieces for Carmelo Anthony, you just have to do it. And I think that's also like how excited would Russell Westbrook and Paul George be to play with Melo in Oklahoma City? Like they would just, they'd be out of their heads excited because he's like a legend to those guys even because he's been in the league for, you know, 14 years and he's still a great shot maker. And we just, and also like what's the best team he's ever been on? It was those Nuggets teams. That New York team was a smokescreen. That team wasn't that good. That won 50 games.
The Jason Kidd year.
Jason Kidd and JR and
Carmelo's been to one Western Conference Final.
Right.
One conference final in his career, just one.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Now that's not necessarily all on him. I mean, obviously the Nuggets actually kind of got better after he left. I mean, or at least they, you know, they remain relevant, I guess I should say.
Due to his impatience.
Yeah.
They definitely. They got better because if you would have just waited, like he could have been playing with a really, really great New York Knicks team that had like Gallinari and Wilson Chandler and all those guys.
Yeah, I forget if it was a low post with Howard Beck or somebody, but, you know, they threw out some good points. Like you have to go back to that moment in time and understand like there was a lot of uncertainty, you know, and like there's legitimate reasons if you can rewind to that point in time and think about the decision making because of the collective bargaining agreement about to expire and a lot of rumors about a hard salary cap. And like, you know, you can kind of understand. I mean, you know, he did what he thought was best for him. And, you know, he did get paid and he did wind up in New York. And but for all he knew, you know, maybe that avenue was going to be closed to him with some of these rule changes. So I do understand some of that. And yeah, a lot of these things, when you criticize someone, sometimes you got to go back to that point in time and look at the reality then and see where the decision was made.
Yeah. And also part of it was Masai just being a wonderful GM for Denver and just saying, no, we'll take it all. And they said, no, will you just take these guys? They're like, no, we'll take it all. We'll also take Mozgov. You'll give us all of it. And that's also that. Because if you just had like an average GM that was in Denver, they would have probably taken, you know, Gallo, Chandler, and like one other piece. But they ended up taking a lot from New York.
Yeah. And it was playing up New York and New Jersey against each other.
Yep.
So absolutely the smart thing.
Let's do some TQs. Mm-hmm. We have one from at Vic Almadrock or Almadrock. I don't know which. I'm sorry, Victor. Thoughts on a possible Russ, Paul George, Mello, Tupat, and Adams death lineup?
I mean, that's the sort of thing. I mean, kind of lost in all this is the Patrick Patterson angle that. I think it was even Woj that at the time of the signing made a comment that he would be the starting power forward in Oklahoma City. However, this is a guy that has come off the bench the majority of his career.
Right.
So he could easily slide back into that role. Yeah, I mean, something like that would be stout. Absolutely be stout. You know, for all the reasons we talked about in the first 15 minutes, it may not be much more than a dream.
Would that be the closing lineup, though? Because I think you'd have Mello at the four. I think that you'd have to have Roberson or Abrines in there, because I just don't think that's a switchy enough lineup. Because Mello, Patterson, and Adams, like, if you're playing Houston or if you're playing Golden State, like, you can't play that lineup. You can't close with that lineup. With like Draymond at the center, or I mean, you just can't do it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of combos there. I mean, you think about there's even like shifting to a huge lineup and moving Paul George back into the backcourt, you know, with Patterson at the four spot, Carmelo at the three. There's some fun stuff there, but I'm not getting too attached to the idea just yet.
Yeah. Don't get too excited. Also, if Mello comes here, he's starting. Period. Like Mello Anthony is not one, probably not waiving his no trade clause for OKC. Number two, he's not waiving his no trade clause to OKC to come off the bench. Like Carmelo Anthony has never come off the bench. He will not do that. It's not happening.
He has played in 976 regular season games, and he has started 976 regular season games. And I would imagine he's probably started every postseason game as well. So, I did see some people float that out, like, "Wow, he'd be really, you know, he'd be better than Cantor coming off the bench." In that situation, your bench is Ray Felton, Patrick Patterson, Alex Abrines, and you know that's not a bad. That's not a bad trio to bring off the bench either. So,
There's just no chance. I mean, we talk about on the court stuff, but can you imagine like the media circus of having Westbrook, Paul George, and Carmelo on the same team? Like it would be a mad house.
Yeah.
And if like that team gets to the West Finals versus the Warriors, like the star power is just out of this world. Even though like Melo's not. Like, as a player, he's not a star anymore, but he's off the court. Like, he's an absolute superstar. And to bring another Jordan Brand guy here in OKC, it would be crazy to have him on this team, just mostly for off the court reasons. I think on the court, like, I think he helps a little bit. I don't know that he is all that. I don't know. He's not a great defender. He's not a great rebounder. He's basically just a scorer, and he's going to space the floor.
He's a mid-range guy. I mean, if you go and look at where he shoots, I mean, he's a mid-ranger. So
yes,
but he can do that. He can score well.
And he would be better as a sixth man. Like, he would absolutely, if he didn't have the ego, if he didn't have the history, he would be a fantastic sixth man. But that's, I mean, that would be like brainwashed Carmelo and Melo that is not really Melo anymore.
Right.
There's just no way. I don't know. He's a fascinating player. I don't think he really, how much do you think he helps the Thunder or Houston? Like, I just don't know that he really helps either of those teams all that much. Like, how many, like, what's he worth? Like, one or two games in the regular season? Maybe.
Well, I mean, if you look at, like we talked about, the proposed idea of, like, Enes Kanter and Doug McDermott, you know, I see people so eager to get rid of Enes Kanter, like, forgetting, like, that dude brings it. I mean, he's a worse defender than Carmelo Anthony, and yes, he's a worse defender at a more critical position and all of that stuff. But I mean, I think people just kind of forget, like, all of the sixth man of the year conversations he's been in and how, you know, how valuable he was to the team. So yes, it's an upgrade, but I mean, yeah, to your point, does that get them another win or two? Probably. And then Houston, kind of the same thing. I mean, depending on what they give up, I mean, they do have an avenue where they could package, you know, Gordon and Ariza and Clint Capella, but there's just no reason for them to do that. Mm-hmm. And that would, you know, that would be a negative, for them to do that. So,
yeah,
I mean, I think he would help. I think he, again, having another guy that other teams have to respect because he can score from anywhere on the court is going to make things open up a lot more. He is a very ISO heavy guy. You know, I don't know how much of Billy Donovan's, you know, transporting the basketball idea would come into effect with him there, but I don't know. All things told, if the opportunity presented itself, I'd still go for it.
Yeah, I think the Thunder would have to do it. But you also look at Houston and OKC and Anderson and Kanter, and they have two guys that are very much, they know who they are. They're very willing to play a role. They don't. Neither of them have to have a ton of shots. Neither of them are malcontents. And, you know, both those guys will be pulled off the court in the West Finals if either of those teams make the West Finals. And I don't think either of them are going to slouch about it. Now, Carmelo Anthony might also be a guy that you have to pull to the bench because he can't keep up and he can't switch. And he's getting killed, and they're targeting him in a pick and roll. Like, that might be a real thing. And what happens when you bench Melo for Andre Robertson? Like, what does that look like? I mean, those are like real issues that Melo would bring to a team, and will bring to the Rockets, or will bring to the Thunder, or will bring to whoever he ends up with.
Those things matter. I mean, those things definitely matter. And hey, look. Who's to say that some of this stuff isn't getting out, you know, hoping to push Houston into, you know, putting assets into a trade that they really don't want to, right? You know, like they don't want to give up multiple firsts to move Ryan Anderson. And maybe they start feeling like, okay, well, Oklahoma City's in on this and Carmelo could change his mind. You know, maybe they need to relent. Maybe that could be part of the strategy here.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see. Next question is from at Cancer Assassin. Without using any stats, facts, cap info, actuary tables, etc., can you tell us what salary Melo is worth in 17-18?
So I guess essentially, if he were a free agent this summer, what would he command? Essentially, probably not as much as he's earning this season, which I think is around 24 or 26, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, like 26, 27, I thought.
Yeah, that sounds right. I would probably put it closer at the 20 mark. That's just my hunch. But again, a lot of that goes into the supply and demand thing. It just takes one desperate team to do something like give Tim Hardaway 4 years and $71 million, you know, so... But I mean, he feels to me that that's just my general feeling. He feels like a $20 million a year guy.
Yeah. He'll be $26 million for 17-18 and then has a an ETO for almost $28
million. Yeah.
The following year. He's such a difficult player to evaluate for this because people are going to come see him play. Like,
yeah,
you're going to sell tickets because he is, if he went to Charlotte would sell a ton of tickets because they just want to go see Melo play. That's a thing. And so I think an ownership group, if he was a free agent I don't know. I don't think that he would get what he's making now, like you said, but it'd be 20 or more just because he is Carmelo Anthony. Like my wife knew, I was like, hey, Carmelo Anthony's in rumors. My wife knows who Carmelo Anthony is. She didn't know
right.
who half the Thunder players are, but she can tell you who Carmelo Anthony is. And that stuff matters.
Yes. My wife calls me and just the first words out of her mouth, Carmelo?
Yeah.
maybe I'll explain it later, you know.
I want to kind of talk about Kevin Durant for a second.
Okay.
That's okay. Have you seen have you seen his tweets?
So I haven't, but I mean, obviously I've kind of caught wind just on, you know, kind of what was being chatted about in some of these text message groups, but
so this one tweet is so weird. So weird. I don't know what's going on here. He says, let's see if y'all can evaluate your favorite player without bringing up any stats or any team achievements. Let's start with Jokic. What is that? Is he, does that seem like he's throwing shade at Jokic? And why would he be doing that? What are you doing on July 25th, 2017, throwing shade at Nikola Jokic, who's probably at home chugging 2-liter Cokes and doing his thing?
Right.
Leave him alone, man.
Yeah. Or was he actually, it's so difficult to read. I don't know. Just his whole social media activity has just, since he's won a title, he kind of feels emboldened now,
mm-hmm.
you know, now he can come out and start clapping back at people and sort of engaging his fan base like he did, you know, kind of early in his career. It's strange how that's turned around.
Yeah, it's very odd. Okay, that's all I had to say. At Caleb Deck, team is away post game. Nice restaurant, all together in New York City. What player specifically requests the bartender to find a Mike's Hard Lemonade?
Oh, man. It's been a long time since I've had a Mike's Hard Lemonade, and it's going to be a lot longer before I have another. I mean, Adams is the first one that comes to mind.
Mine is singular, because everyone knows it's a thing that nobody should really like that. But Singler has the tiny little baby ponytail, and he doesn't care. And he posts things online and he makes them look kind of dumb, and he doesn't care. He float tanks and knows that people make fun of him, and he doesn't care. And Kyle Singler drinks My Cards Lemonade, and he doesn't care. I think that's why.
Yeah, I mean, I guarantee he's probably sipping on a Zima right now while supplies last.
Oh my goodness, that is such a Singler drink, a Zima. Oh wow, that is so true.
You know that's happening right now as we speak.
It is. I can see it. It's so clear in so many ways. So clear. This is from OK. This is a name that we haven't been able to read yet. OKC Obstinacy is got to be what it is. Luke called him at OK Cobstinacy. He says same name, same game, new name. If OKC ended up getting Melo, who is the best player he would have played with before Westbrook and Paul George?
Yeah, I mean Iverson.
You have Allen Iverson, who was still really good.
He was
in Denver.
Yeah, I mean, because Kidd, that was his last year.
Yeah, Kidd, yeah, that was not a very good Jason Kidd, although he had, like, completely remade his game where he was, like, a 3-and-D point guard, basically. And was,
right.
I mean, he was good, but he was not J. Kidd.
Yeah. There was, I mean, briefly Amari Stoudemire, but... Mm-hmm.
Chauncey Billups was still super good in Denver.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I forgot about that. Yeah, because he came over in exchange for Iverson.
Right.
There at that point, and then went with him to New York, and then New York amnestied him so they could go get Tyson Chandler. Right. So yeah, I mean, he's had a few decent guys.
Yeah, nobody great. He's had like pretty good teams around him. Some of those Chauncey Billups Denver teams were actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. But you know, I mean, they almost made the finals, really, if that Lakers team. Like, they actually put up a pretty good fight against
right.
them. But you had, like, Nene was on that team, and he was still pretty yep. good.
Those Nuggets teams were just snake-bitten because, like, Kenyon Martin, like, both of his knees kept going out.
Yep.
Nene, he blew out his ACL 1 year in the first game of the regular season. And then he had, the testicular issues that also affected him, and... It's just unfortunate because Denver had some really good things going for him and just some really bad luck. Does that sound familiar?
I've heard of a team that has had those same issues.
Marcus Camby. I mean, remember when Camby was playing out of his mind there for a while in Denver? And I have to give a shout out to Eduardo Nájera as well, yeah. who's on those teams.
Yeah, the last year that I guess this was the post Iverson trade. That roster is actually pretty good. You had a younger Aaron Aflalo on that team. Melo, Chauncey Billups, Nene, Ty Lawson was a rookie, but he still played. It was pretty good. You had Kmart and you had J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith.
It's a solid squad.
Yeah. Again, just unfortunately, they had some injuries that kind of prevented them from being all they could be.
Yep. But yeah, probably... Iverson or Billups or Porzingis.
Yeah, that's possible too. Sure.
But yeah, I think Porzingis is going to be awesome, but he hasn't really been able to spread his wings yet in New York. Let's see. This is from at Austin S 1027. If both Russ and PG left after this season, would you hire Sam Hinkie to help with the rebuilding process?
I think Sam Presti's got it handled. I don't know if he needs any help.
Agreed. I've said this before, and I feel like I'm just a big dummy having to repeat myself. But like Sam Presti did the Sam Hinkie, but only did it very successfully. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Like when people are like, "Well, if the Thunder rebuild, they should go get Sam." Like, no. Sam Presti has done this before. And he's actually done it very well. And look what he's done with this team. Like, why would you want anybody else?
Yeah. And again, I have been one of the people over the years that have kind of defended what Sam Hinkie did, mostly because I keep pointing out, like, hey, he got ownership to sign off on his plan.
Mm-hmm.
And, he told him up front, apparently this is going to be like 7 years before you really get it turned back around. And they were like, okay.
Yeah.
And so as frustrating as it maybe was to some people, like this was all kind of part of his master plan.
Yep.
And so obviously, the plan included taking guys that even if they were injured and they were going to miss a season and, he whiffed on a couple of times. He's obviously very smart.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if this Thunder team, needed to hit the reset button, yep, they're already in good hands with Sam Presti and Troy Weaver and the rest of the staff they already have on hand.
Yep. This is from at Caleb_Jones_. If you could pick any power forward in the league to start with Russ, Dre, Paul George, and Adams, who would you pick?
If I could pick any power forward, I would play LeBron James at power forward.
Yeah. That's a good answer. That's a solid answer.
Yeah, I think I'd do that.
I think Bill Simmons would say Jaylen Brown.
Right, yeah. That's definitely an option. And maybe Jason Tatum. Just go ahead and slide him in there at that four spot. Might be an awkward fit. But.
Man, screw Bill Simmons, man. I feel like he's just trolling this OKC fan base. And I feel like it was all a ploy to get people to listen to his latest podcast, which I did, and which I've been like punching myself in the face for it because I'm just so mad that I even did it. Like, why did I even do that? Why did I subject myself to that?
That's what you get.
It is what I get.
What you get, man.
Ugh. Back to the question. Anthony Davis would look pretty nice.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Next to that crew.
Yeah, no doubt.
Anybody, I'm trying to think of anybody.
Porzingis. Porzingis is another one.
Porzingis would be nice.
Yeah.
Just for like fun, I'd just love to see Dirk just stretching the floor
sure.
for the Thunder. It'd be so fun.
Part of me wants. Yeah, I would be like, if I didn't mention the currently being sued Draymond Green.
Yeah. yeah.
I mean, I just don't know. I feel we've had a lot of side discussions about this, too. Like, I keep talking about Draymond that I think he's probably one of the 10 best players in the league.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you could drop him in Oklahoma City and if he could be quite as effective on the offensive end.
Sure. Yeah,
without
and he didn't
some of the greatest shooters in NBA history surrounding him.
He's in the perfect situation for him, and it's hard he's hard to evaluate because of that.
Sure,
because he's really at his peak of what he could be, and they're putting him in the best position on offense and on defense. He is in the most perfect, ideal situation for him, and there's not a lot of NBA players that are put in that position.
And he is just so dominant defensively.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, that's where I really swing a lot. You know, when I talk about like top 10, top 15 players in the league, that's where I really put a lot of emphasis on him. So, yeah. I mean, I would be derelict if I didn't mention him.
Yeah. I thought about him. Oh, Millsap's another one.
Millsap would be another interesting one. Can I also play Giannis at the four spot?
Yeah.
Why not?
You should. There's not a lot of good fours in the NBA right now.
It's weird. I mean, this is where we're running into the problem of like trying to pigeonhole guys. You know, it's like a four spot guy, and I mean, we're coming up with a bunch of guys. It's like, yeah, they played small forward most of their career, but really, they should be playing the four.
Yeah, yeah. It's really odd. Blake Griffin is another good power forward I'd like to have on the Thunder if I could just add him.
Yeah. And if he would be like happy about coming here.
Yeah. He knows OKC. I think that we've answered most of the questions that have been on here, but anything else you'd like to get off your chest before we go?
You know, nothing really that strikes me this week. It's been kind of fun just sitting back and watching everything unfold. You know, yes. Whatever's going on in Cleveland and soaking in all that information from Zach Lowe and Windhorst and others that are really tied into that there. It reminds me, and this has been brought up elsewhere, but I mean, it reminds me so much of, I mean, the Harden situation.
Sure.
It really does. You know, again, it's easy to just chalk that up as a luxury tax decision, but some of this stuff was some of the concern as well. So, anyway, it's kind of fascinating to kind of see that unfold. And, you know, every player is going to have different priorities. I mean, Kyrie Irving probably thinks that he could go to Orlando and make them a finals contender immediately. You know, yeah. He might be in for a rude awakening if he really thinks that.
He would be. Man, yeah. Where do you think Irving will land? Do you have any favorite landing spots for him?
Yeah, I mean the first few spots. I mean, you kind of go back to your regulars. I mean, Denver has been wanting to get a star player for so long. I think they have, you know, they have a mix of assets, both veterans and young. I'm not feeling Minnesota. I'm just not.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's just strange because he acts like he wants to be a number one guy. Like, he's not better than Jimmy Butler. He's not better than Towns. Like, is he going to be the third best player on that team?
And some of that goes to, I mean, the idea that he's looking for, like, stable ownership and management. Sure. And then he throws out the Knicks as one of his teams, which is probably because that's his hometown team, but still. Yeah.
The list is weird. The list is so weird.
It definitely is. I mean, Zach Lowe has talked a lot about Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I think you could put together, something there potentially. I think there's some landing spots, and still one of my favorite ones is still Charlotte.
Yeah.
I still think that you could put together a deal, starting with Kemba Walker, maybe Cody Zeller, maybe your suggestion of Nicholas Batum and putting something together. But I think that's another potential landing spot. Plus, he played at Duke, so Michael Jordan has seen him play. So he'd probably be interested in acquiring him.
And they're due to have somebody cool play in their cool uniforms, because right now they've got really nobody that cool.
Yeah.
To play in those unis. They just got Dwight Howard.
Right.
Just kidding.
Yeah. That still seems kind of weird, but again, it's also been mentioned, Kyrie Irving is a star player. Yes. Like, you talked about Carmelo being a guy that sells tickets. Kyrie's going to sell. He's going to move merchandise. He's going to put people in seats.
He will sell tickets. Like, this is, he's really fun. And he's also a difficult player to evaluate, like I said, with Melo, because like some people just think that he's not that good. And I'm just like, I just don't know how you can think that. He's 25 years old. He can score on anybody. He's got probably the best handle in the NBA. Could he be a better distributor? Sure. Could he be a better defender? Absolutely. He's really bad. But like, look what he's done in the playoffs. Like, that's where like people want to compare like him and Kyle Lowry. And I'm just like, man, Kyle Lowry's been really good. Like, he's a much better defender. But like, when things get real, like, Kyle Lowry hadn't shown up. When things get real, like, Kyrie Irving, like, he's not afraid of anything. And I think that to me, like, that means something. And he's very good.
Yeah, I think some people are holding those three seasons prior to LeBron coming back.
Yeah.
I think they're holding that against him way too much. I mean, we're talking about 2 years of Byron Scott, one of Mike Brown, and the quality of teammates. I mean, Dion wasn't Dion at that time, right? But the quality of teammates he had was not good. I mean, it was a floundering franchise that LeBron James came back and basically saved single-handedly. So, I mean, I do agree with the idea that put him in Oklahoma City last season or in Houston last season, and maybe you have a borderline 500 team. I do buy into that, but still, I think there's a lot of teams that should take the risk on that. And those three seasons without LeBron, I don't think should be held against him to the degree that it seems to be held against him.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. He's solid. Shout out to James Hollis, Snotty Drippin, for calling me out of saying that he's a top three player in the East. He's probably not a top three player in the East. I was spitballing that with my friend Taylor the other day. Just happened to be on a podcast.
Off the top of your head, it's understandable. That happens.
He's probably a top six player in the East, though, because the East is just so bad, John. If he gets dealt to the West, I mean, like, they're like, oh my
gosh,
like, who's gonna be an All Star? Like, who? Like, are there gonna be two Sixers that are All Stars? Like, there's gonna be, like, who are they gonna choose?
I'm gonna go through this as a mental exercise here in the next few days and just, look at who could make an all-star team in the Eastern Conference when this all shakes out.
It's going to be crazy. Serge Ibaka might actually have a chance to make the all-star team for the first time in his career. Like,
he could.
It's insanity.
And I need to go back and research, because I feel like we've had this kind of imbalance before, and I can't remember exactly when.
I can tell you it probably has something to do with Jamal McGlure.
That would be a great place to start. Go back and look at those Jamal McGlure, Dale Davis, all-star teams in the East. But yeah, I mean, it feels like there was a time where the Western Conference was just so loaded with talent and all-star type guys, and some guys got left off that were very deserving, but they were just on the, wrong part of the map. Mm-hmm. We're there again.
Yeah, it's crazy. John, thanks for coming on the show today. We'll follow you on Twitter at John M. Hamm. We'll listen to you locally on The Franchise. Anything else coming up?
Nothing else in the works at the moment, but you never know when I get the itch to crank something out.
Yes. Always look for his stuff at Daily Thunder. Always go reread his stuff at Daily Thunder. Still applicable today. Check us out on Twitter at Down to Dunk. If you leave us a 5-star iTunes review, that'd be just so nice. It's such a nice thing for you to do. We really appreciate that. We appreciate all of you guys that have done that already. We're getting closer to 200. 200 would be so cool. And speaking of numbers, this is episode 399. We have episode 400 episode on Friday. And that's a lot of episodes. And that's a lot of round numbers. And in Oklahoma City, we love round numbers. Thanks for listening to our show.